So the 50th International Eucharistic Congress will take place in Dublin next year from the 10th to the 17th of June. It's the 80th anniversary, or it's 80 years since we first had the Eucharistic Congress in Dublin. And I'm here with Father Pat O'Donoghue. And first of all, Father Pat, tell me a little bit about yourself, what you do here in the Archdiocese of Dublin.
I'm the director of the Liturgy Resource Centre for the diocese. I'm a priest of the diocese based at the Pro Cathedral now for the last 26 years. So under the heading of Liturgy Resource Centre comes another very specific job in music, which is the Diocesan Director of Music, position of health since 1988.
Okay, now you launched a CD last night. It's called O Sacrament Most Holy, and it's from the Palestrina Choir, which are, I suppose, the main choir in the Pro Cathedral. Correct me if I'm wrong. Just tell me a little bit first about the Palestrina. Is it Palestrina Choir or Palestrina Choir?
Palestrina Choir. The Palestrina Choir got its name from the famous composer who was born in Palestrina. A 16th century composer who was very significant in the history of sacred music because he was writing around the time of the Council of Trent. And it was a time of great revision, a great of change in the liturgy and ideas around music. When the choir was set up by a man called Edward Martin, who was associated also with the Abbey Theatre, his desire was to have a choir in the cathedral that would be able to perform music from, I'd say, before 1600. That was his very particular interest. So it was set up in that regard in 1903. It had been in, there was a choir in Clarendon Street, and if you like, they were poached across the Liffey. The same director, Dr. Vincent O'Brien. The choir sing at the Latin Mass. We have a Latin Mass, but it's not the Tridentine Mass. It's the Latin Mass in the new order. Every Sunday from September to June. The boys also sing Vespers on a Friday afternoon. They have a very, very, very high standard. They're under the direction at the moment of Blondet Murphy, who would be well known to people in the Carlow area for her work down there too. They've a really very, very high standard of music, and anyone who'd listen to this CD will certainly be able to agree with that, I should think.
Now, the CD is called O Sacrament Most Holy, and it's, I suppose, the subheading on it is International Eucharistic Congress 2012. So is this CD all about the Eucharistic Congress next year?
The CD is prepared, if you like, to help people get into focus for the Congress. Because the music is mostly choral music, coming from a whole range of styles and traditions, the unifying force of the CD is that they are all based on the Eucharist, and also there are accompanying reflections. So the CD is meant to be both something to listen to, but also something maybe to pray with, and that's why the little reflections from time to time either give a translation of the text or offer an idea, something to think about the Eucharist. So you could see it in the broader context of preparation for Congress coming from this particular angle.
Talk to me a little bit about how long the CD took. I mean, how long of a work in progress was it, if you can think back?
Well, the idea of the CD came from Blondet Murphy herself, the director of the choir, because many of the parents of the children in the choir, so it's an all-male choir made up of boys and men, so many of the parents of the choir were interested in a recording, because obviously a boy's voice only lasts a certain length of time, and it's a lovely memory to say that you participated in a recording. So I suppose that's the first thing, was it was time to do another recording. But it seemed to me the most logical thing to do is to do something on the Eucharist when the whole country is preparing for the Congress at this time. So it was simple enough, really, because the choir has such an extensive repertoire already. And it was just a matter of Blondet working out what pieces she would do. And so that there'd be, if you like, contrast in it. So you'd have music that is very popular music that would have been sung in 1932, like Soul of My Saviour, Sweet Sacrament, Divine. Just really, really popular pieces. And I'll talk to you, if you like, a little bit about our Sacrament Most Holy and how it got its title in a moment. But in addition to that, then you'd have various settings of the Ave Verum, you know, again from different composers. So the repertoire was already there. It was just a matter of putting it together. And then my part was I was just encouraging the project because I really felt it was the right thing to be doing for us, preparing in Dublin for the Congress, but also to put together this collection of reflections to accompany it, so to make it feel like an even more prayerful resource than it was. But I mentioned the O Sacrament Most Holy, which gets its title, and it's the last piece on the CD is written by Colin Mawby. Now, the piece was commissioned by Trina and Gemma King, who are regulars with us at the Pro Cathedral and play a very important part in the life and ministry there. But the piece is called God Has Been Glorified. But in fact, it's a series of movements. And at the end of each of the movement with reflections on the Eucharist in the text, there is O Sacrament Most Holy, the refrain. So it's the refrain of O Sacrament, then one movement, and so on. So it's ideal for people joining in, but it's a very, very big piece itself, you know, for brass and timpani and organ. It's a stunning piece, and I hope it will find a place in 2012. So when people look back to the Congress of 2012, they'll see a little bit of the old, and they'll see a little bit of the new, because I think that's really what we should be doing, all of us involved in church music at this time, is cherishing what we have from the past, but also to embracing the newer styles of music and the new ways of looking at the texts.
Now, talking to people, and there are quite a few people alive who actually attended the last Eucharistic Congress, and of course in the course of the preparations, I've certainly come into contact with quite a few of those people and their children and grandchildren, and one of their fondest memories from the 1932 Congress was the music, the hymns, the singing. Do you think that the, you know, or do you hope, I suppose, that music, liturgical music and singing will play a big part in next year's Congress?
Well, music and singing is going to be central to all of the liturgical celebrations. And at the moment, we have selected the music from Monday through Saturday. We're working on the opening and the closing at the moment. A lot has changed in terms of church music in the past 80 years. And the emphasis now is not so much on hymns, but in fact, when it comes to a celebration of the Eucharist, on singing the various parts of the Mass. And this has really been a product and a great fruit of the Second Vatican Council. So the first thing that we did when we were looking at music for the Congress was to look at Mass settings. And we're very fortunate that we now have the new collection, Sing the Mass, which is just a tremendous resource. So we have taken all our Mass settings out of Sing the Mass. And we're using some of the newer compositions, and we're using some of the older ones like the Fintan O'Carroll Masses in the Congress. But the emphasis will be on getting everybody to sing what belongs to them. So it's the parts of the Mass belong to them. So that's number one. But of course, there will be hymns, indeed. And what we tried to do, because it's an international celebration, we tried to include music that we thought people would have access to. That, for example, in the Taizé tradition, which again wasn't there in 1932, you have a kind of a universal music. You have pieces set to music in various languages so that we can involve and include many, many people in them. So we looked at both the universal, and then we also looked at the tradition of music here in Ireland. And again, since 1932, we have now some very, very fine composers of our own music, like Liam Lawton, Bernard Sexton, etc. So one of the projects that we did in Dublin last year was to bring out a collection called Becoming the Body of Christ. It's a book and a CD. And it's in the same style as the present CD we're talking about. It's music and reflections. But the music is all by Irish composers, and it's liturgical music that people can join in through refrains, etc., along the way. So I suppose it's the 2012 approach to the Congress a little bit of the old, and then also showcasing the new, but being conscious that here in Ireland we've such a rich tradition, we've wonderful composers, and we'd like to have their music in the Congress, seeing as it is being hosted here in Dublin.
Now, where is Osarcomat Most Holy, your new CD, and indeed the one you spoke about last, that you launched last year, Becoming the Body of Christ, where can people access those?
First of all, Osarcomat Most Holy, it's available from the Pro Cathedral. If you go on to our website, also too, it'll be available in Veritas. And similarly, Becoming the Body of Christ is available through the Veritas outlets and also through our own Diocesan Liturgy Resource Centre. And we have a website, www.litmus.dublindiocese.ie. So the Litmus is LITMUS, Liturgy Music. And we'd be delighted to take orders from, and also to refer people to for the Osarcomat Most Holy recording as well.
Now, how are preparations going in general for the Eucharistic Congress here in Dublin, in the host diocese?
Archbishop Martin set up a preparatory committee under the chair of Bishop Raymond Field, and we began our work perhaps about six months ago. And I must say it's a wonderful committee to be on, very interested and enthusiastic people coming from many different experiences and backgrounds. So already the committee has produced a lovely little prayer leaflet, which is intended for those who minister to the sick or bring communion to the sick. Because many people felt, well, the Congress will be going on in Dublin, it's a big event, but those who are sick need to be brought right into the centre of it. In the same way as the sick are in the centre of Lourdes, say, and the Eucharistic procession there. So this little prayer leaflet, and again, we'd be delighted, you know, if anybody from any part of the country wishes to take the leaflets from us. And the idea is to, for the ministers of the Eucharist to bring communion to the sick, are those engaged in chaplaincy who work with the sick in hospitals, that they would have this little leaflet, and it connects them. And the leaflet takes the Congress prayer and breaks it up into sections. So each panel has a little section of the prayer and there are other reflections on that. The second thing then, just only 2 weeks ago for our own meetings, I talked to Fáinte Ryan, who's on our committee. She'd put together a leaflet on the Eucharist just to offer people something a little bit deeper, what the Eucharist means. You know, Eucharist and justice. You know, different aspects of Eucharist. So again, that's available here in the diocese, and again for anybody who wishes to. We had two very interesting information meetings from our delegates. These are the people from the different parishes. They've been nominated by their parishes. So we were expecting just about 80 people to the first meeting, and 180 people turned up. So we were literally out the door, and great enthusiasm and energy. Second meeting, we were expecting 50, and 100 people came. And we're very fortunate too that members of the staff of the Congress office came, and they were able to answer the practical questions, because they're involved on the day-to-day basis of how to book and how to get involved as a volunteer, etc. So I think that this is the right time to be moving these I suppose meetings and etc. So we invited people to the launch of the CD on the 26th of October, and our next gathering really is the Diocesan Advent service that takes place on Saturday the 26th of November at 4 p.m. in the Pro Cathedral. And what's exciting and different this year with the Advent service is that we're launching a city mission. On our committee is Linda Walker of the Emmanuel community. And so there's something like 25 to 30 of the community coming from different parts of the world to be involved in this mission. And it is part of our preparation for the Congress. And we're hoping it will reach out to very many people. So these are the projects coming up to Christmas. After that, then, every diocesan event that's on, so say, for example, the Day for Consecrated Life, we're going to have the focus on Congress. Our music program for our second level schools, the Emmanuel program in the Helix, that all the music has been chosen, very strongly Eucharistic, and there will be references. So everything, in a sense, that we do will have a Eucharistic emphasis through the year. So we're taking the things that we're doing already and hoping that, I suppose, to do them, not only do them better, but also help people focus. Mm-hmm. And I suppose in the last few months, for somebody like myself involved in music, the big work has been on Sing the Mass, promoting Sing the Mass, doing workshops. Because I think up to Advent, which is the official date of the new translation text coming into being in our country, the emphasis has been on teaching people the new responses. So again, it kind of shows what I was saying about the changes. We're not focusing at the moment so much on hymns, but on getting everybody to sing the Mass in the new texts and translations. And then after Christmas, we'll be able to focus on the hymns, etc. again.
Okay. Father Pat O'Donoghue, thank you very much for sharing that with us. And we wish you the best of luck with the CD.
Thank you very much indeed, Brenda.